What year did you retire, did you say?
68.
And that was because of the marriage
then? That's because of the marriage, I had to leave. That was the rules then. When you got married, you just automatically lost your job. So you did. And you just went off and got married and you were supposed to rear your children then after that.
And was that something that you thought about, and or did you think that was unfair at the time?
Ah, yes. Well, of course, none of us wanted to give up our jobs at that time. No, none of the women wanted to give up their jobs at that time, even before I left. Mm-hmm. They would have all preferred to have stayed on until they had to leave, until they were starting their families. But they didn't have any choice. They just had to go, and that was it. So a lot of them got jobs afterwards, doing other things in shops, and like myself, I went in to work in a shop afterwards, after I got married, and I stayed there for 2 years before I had a family.
Oh, was that in Clondalkin?
That
as
was
well?
In Clondalkin, yeah. I was up on the Monsey Road, and the gentleman there and his wife, Greta and Kevin Carl was their names, they owned the sweet shop on the Monastery Road, and I worked there for 2 years with them. So I did. And we had another nice relationship with them.
And Clondalkin, was it? Did everybody know everybody in that
everyone
village?
Everyone knew in Clondalkin. You'd be afraid to talk because everyone was nearly related to one another in Clondalkin. It was such a small place. And if you weren't, you still felt you were because everyone knew everybody in Clondalkin. Yeah.
And in those days, it wasn't so much commuting into the city. I'd say a lot of people actually worked in the mills. And there was a jam factory,
A small jam factory down at the end of the new road. The Laurels Public House is built on it now. Mm-hmm. And that they used to make jam down there. And we had a cinema in Clondalkin. And we had a dance hall in Clondalkin. When there was hardly anyone living in Clondalkin, but now we used to go there to the cinema.
Yeah.
And that used to be called the Bibby.
The Bibby?
The Bibby in Clondalkin. And then we used to go to the Mayfair, or the Castaways was the name of it in Clondalkin.
Yeah.
And we used to go there. And then we used to dance in Baldon, the camp in Ballon, used to get all the good bands there, and we used to go up there and dance when we were younger.
Oh, was that a big,
huge, corrugated shed,
was it?
Or? No, it was their sports hall in Ballon. The soldiers all had a huge, big sports, big, huge building. Yeah. They used to do all the sports in, and they used to have bands there at the weekend, and we used to go there to dance. So we did.
How would you get there? On your bike or?
Well, yeah, if you had one. Yes, we used to borrow bicycles a lot, and we used to go, and we used to hide them in the ditch then. And we'd pretend that we were at the walking up, or we'd get a lift up.
I see. But it was a place, though, that entertainment and fun and everything went on in the village
We always went there. We always seemed to be in a group of people.
Yeah,
there was always girls and fellas together, but there was no harm. We were just all friends, and we used to have just good fun, and we'd watch out for one another.
Yeah.
And we enjoyed. We always felt safe coming home at night with any of the guys at the time, you know. There was never any interference or they would look after us to make sure that we got home safe. So they would. Yeah, it was lovely. You know, when you think about it now, the children don't have the same safety as we did, you know.
And did you actually miss the mills when you did leave? The mills.
Ah, yes, you did. You missed the company, and you missed all the friends, even though you kept in touch with them. Yeah. But you missed the daily contact with them, so you did. And the bit of fun that would go on, all that, you missed all that.
Were you sorry to see it closing?
Yes, I was, because it was a sad time in Clondalkin. And when it closed, a lot of the people got very angry, and they went on strike, and we had hunger strike there. Mm. And but I think one of the men lost his life over the hunger strike. It was a very sad time now in Clondalkin, that area. So it was, they fought for hard to keep it open. And a lot of the young men now, they became quite ill after going on hunger strike for so long. It was very much highlighted in the news at the time about it. You know.
Were any of your family, any of your siblings?
No, they weren't. They were involved in it, but they didn't go on the hunger strike. This was just a few men that did go on hunger strike, but thank God, none of ours did.
Yeah. You know. And the whole area, of course, changed then so drastically.
It put an awful blackness over the community. You know, everyone was very depressed and very upset and very down over the fact that this was going on, and they were closing down the mill, and a lot of men lost their livelihoods at that stage, you know, and they were never going to get work again because they were too old to go looking for work. And there was no big redundancies there for them to help them to get over it or anything like that. So it was a very, very sad time for families.
What did you go on to do yourself after having a family? Did you go back working again?
I went back into the shop for a while, and then I had two children then, and it just became too much. My husband was a chef, and he worked split hours. He worked in the hotels, and it just became too hard for it to work, because he'd be gone in the morning, be home the afternoon, back in the evening, back to work in the evening at 5 o'clock. He wouldn't be home till 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. So it just wasn't easy to go back out working at the time.
How did you meet Matt, your husband? Was it that over in Baldonnel?
No, it wasn't. It was at a two-shilling hop up in Talla, in Doyle's in Talla, on a Tuesday night. That's how we met. And he came, he was at being out in Blessington on his day off from work, and he was with a friend, and he had borrowed his father's car, and he decided to call into the dance hall. And I was there with my sister and my friend, and we were out there cycling up on the bikes and hid the bikes in the trees, as usual.
As you do.
So I met him, and he asked me, could he leave me home? And I said no, that I was on my bike. So he thought that was very funny, and still thinks it's funny.
You're living out here in Newcastle, which isn't too far away from Clondalkin.
No, no.
Yeah. Were you always living here, or did you live elsewhere?
We lived in Palmerstown. We had an apartment in Palmerstown for about two and a half years. And then we heard about these houses, came up here, and we came up here and we liked them here. And it was grand because it was on a direct bus route to Clondalkin.
Yeah.
And that time I didn't have a car. My husband had a car. He needed it for work, so I used to be able to go down on the bus down to my parents.
Yeah, and you'd take all the country roads all the way back down.
But we often walked
down. All that's changed now, isn't it?
Yeah, it has very much changed, yeah. There was often times we walked down from here to Clondalkin, a friend of mine, and we'd walk down with the babies and the prams at the time.
Would you?
Yeah, yeah, we'd walk down and we'd come back home in the evening time again. So we would.
Following that lovely old country road all the way down.
All the way down, yeah. We'd go down the back road here, down onto the old Nanga Road and into Clondalkin that way.
Yeah.
And there was very little traffic on it, so we were safe enough.
Do you have any memorabilia, any photographs of that time?
I don't actually know. Not of the mill now, yes, or anything like that. We didn't. No, I wouldn't have now. Probably would be some around people's houses in Clondalkin, but I can't say where. You know.
I suppose to imagine the what you've just told me, you know, that the group of you inside working together, at a huge pace, and managing to get all the packaging, all the papers, everything in situ. It was just incredible work.
Well, we just got on with it and we done it. You know, as I said, we were at being more or less trained to do it, and our eyes were trained to spot all the unnecessary things there and take them out, and that was it.
Did any of your family go back in to the mills? It was still there, wasn't it? In the
It was there. No, they didn't go back in. Well, when it closed down, everyone kind of finished in it anyway.
And that was it. That was the end of it.
That was the end of it.
Yeah.
And then it was derelict for a few years, and then it knocked down and became the shopping centre then, you know.
When you go into Clondalkin today and you see that, you know, that everything has changed so much, and there isn't a sign of the factory.
Yeah, no, there's nothing there now, except there's a few pictures, four photos in the mill centre itself now.
Yeah.
There's a few of those, all right.
Yeah.
But other than that, there doesn't seem to be any trace of it. There was the tower for a good while, and then that was knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed it became dangerous, so they had to take it down. So.
And it disappeared overnight, I heard.
It disappeared overnight, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was there one day and gone tomorrow, you know, as they say.
And handling all that paper each day, I mean, was it difficult on your hands? Or?
Very, very difficult. You'd have all little paper cuts on your hands, and your hands would be nearly raw from them, because some of the paper was so sharp. The edges would be so sharp that you would, the least little tip off them, be like razor blades.
Yeah.
And your hands would be in an awful state with cuts, and be very embarrassing, you know, when you're going out at the weekends. And you'd be trying to cover up all the little cuts on your hands, and they'd be sore and everything, so they would, because of all the different papers.
And could you wear protected gloves?
No, you had to use your fingertips. Yeah. You had to know by the feel of the paper what the paper was like and how smooth it was. You couldn't manage it with gloves, or you wouldn't be allowed to wear gloves. You had to do it all by hands. So,
and was there softer paper then? Would you notice the difference between different papers?
You'd notice the different quality of papers immediately. You know, some of it was very, very hard and very tough on your hands. Some of it would be lovely and soft and very easy to manage.
Yeah.
But it was very, very sore, you know, especially in the winter time, you know, in the frost. And you'd have all these little paper cuts, and the frost would be biting into you. Especially in the morning times when you could be on your way to work, and that time we didn't have gloves every day, so you'd be very frosty, and you'd feel the frost on your hands, so you would that time.
What about medical attention? Did you have a medical centre where you...
There was a nurse, but it was only for an emergencies. That would be for... We could have went down, you'd get plaster off them, all right, but that's all they could give you. It was mostly if men cut their hands in machines or anything like that. You know, men used to have a few severe accidents, all right, but that wouldn't be, we wouldn't be caught near it we wouldn't be seeing it, because they'd be down, all right, we'd only hear it, that somebody was out there having an injury or something like that, you know.
Oh, I see.
So other than that, we wouldn't be involved in it.
Yeah.
But there would be a nurse. There was a nurse there in the factory for an emergencies. But if one went down, you'd only get plasters for the cuts. So you couldn't keep them on because you couldn't feel the paper. So you couldn't work with it.
Of course.
Yeah. So you just had to manage, learn to manage with all your cuts on it.
Well, it was a... difficult thing, wasn't it, really, the handling the paper. Would you, you know, apart from getting cuts on your hands, would you, even if you had your eyes closed, you'd recognise the different quality papers coming through?
Oh, you'd know straight away the different quality of papers, because it's like material, you get to know the different qualities and textures
yeah.
of the papers. The same as you would with material, you get to know the different, a dressmaker would know different qualities of material straight away. They'd be so used to handling it.
Oh, I see.
They'd get to know pretty much.
Well, Deirdre, darling, it was a pleasure talking to you, and thank you very much indeed.
I hope it was helpful.
It was indeed. Thanks.